Good evening, church. It's a tremendous blessing to be in the house of God today and just thanking the Lord for his grace and for his mercy that got us here today. In preparing this message, I was just thinking about the great mysteries, the things that the Lord has done in my life. And it's just a tremendous blessing how he unfolds the things in our lives for a reason. And if you could just understand that when I went through a whole lot this past week and I took on a job situation and I shared with the gentleman, he asked me to take over his whole business. So, which I've never done. I've never worked retail in my life. And for him to tell me that, you know, I sprung up in the flesh and I said yes. But after saying yes, I did say this, because we have become sort of like friends because of the individual that had the brain injury that I should take into the mall. He met these folks, and we began a great bond with each other. And but I told him this. I said, the minute this job no longer becomes a blessing for me to be a blessing to you and your family, then I have to walk away from it. See, you don't know situations until you get to know people on a fully basis, when you begin to work with them. I've worked with this brother here. He knows who I am. I thank God for my brother here. But working for the world is an entirely different thing. And I began to see some things that I didn't like. He was praying to the unknown God, and he was Hinduism. He was Hindu. And so I had to ask myself the question, what do Hindus mean? So I've been trying to grasp a hold of that. They believe in all types of gods and whatever that is. And our pastor has taught us that, you know, we ought to watch out for those false teachers. And so I had to ask myself the question is, who's influencing who? And I, by the grace of God, had to walk away from that job. But I said to him, I said, this has no longer become a blessing, and that's become a curse. But I did move to finish the last 3 days with him. And when I will be doing that this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Just pray for me. As I try to minister to this young man, he's sacrificing his life just for a retail store. And I thought that's what he thought I wanted to do. That's not, Christ has sacrificed everything for me, and I refuse to give up that for anybody. But we'll be in the book of 2 Timothy. And you know, by the way, the Lord's still blessed. And I got a praise today. The school where I was supposed to take the paraprofessional test is very hard. 61 years old, man. I've been in school. I got Jack to try to help me. I got everybody in here trying to help me. And the principal called me today and said, Andrew, he left me a text and said, I want you to call me because I want to discuss your role at East Hartford High School. And so when he did that, I was kind of nervous because they already told me, unless I take the test, I can't come back. And so he called me and he talked, hey, how you doing? What's going on? He says, I just want to let you know one of the guys quit. So I want you to take his position. You see how good God is? When you're faithful to him, he's always faithful to us. So they assigned me a behavioral specialist position. I don't have to take a test. I just have to do some trainings. And so I'm so excited about that. So just continue to pray for me. And I'm grateful for what the Lord has done. And I'm so excited. But forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. I just want to be a blessing. All right, but let's start. I'm going to start in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3. I'm going to do the old man glasses thing again. And I'm going to start in 1 Timothy, chapter 3. Verses 14 and 16. by way of introduction, this is the first of Paul's epistles to young Timothy, the pastor. And it, he exhorts Timothy to guard against false doctrine. And that's what I was doing that day. When I saw all that that young man was doing, when he was praying to that unknown God, that hurt me. That really hurt me. But that also reminded me of what our pastor says to us. We have to be mindful of those false teachers because they do slip in. And they do creep in that side door. And so he exhorts Timothy to guard against false doctrine, protect public worship, and to develop mature leadership. And much of the epistle deals with the nature of personal conduct, including the qualifications of a bishop, meaning a pastor, as a true teacher of God's word. Practical directions for elders and for widows are also given in detail. I'm going to read the scriptures and then we'll pray. From Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Timothy said, Paul said to Timothy, these things I write unto thee, hoping to seek to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And he says in verse 16, the text verse, and without great mystery, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God who was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as I boldly come before you, Lord, tonight, just thanking and praising you, Father God, for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures that are able to keep us from sin. And Father God, we just pray, Father God, that you'll be with our pastor, Lord, tonight. Lord, as he's in Vietnam and taking the word of God to those folks there, Lord, I pray that their hearts will be open to receive the word of God with readiness of heart. And as I have prepared my heart, Lord, I pray, Lord, you speak to your people thus here at Bible Baptist Church as well. And I'll be sure to thank you and praise you for that as well. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The purpose that Paul is writing this, 1 Timothy lays down, Timothy is writing this. Paul, an apostle by Jesus Christ. He's writing unto Timothy, and he's telling Timothy that the purpose for Timothy was to lay down the foundation for ordaining elders in the local church. It provides provides apostolic guideline for ordaining men to the sacred office of the church. In essence, it is leadership manual for the church organization and administration. Its theme is that of conduct in the church of the living God. And so in verse 1 Timothy chapter 13, verse 16, it says, and great and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, and seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. As Paul is instructing Timothy, he instructs him in the mystery of godliness. Paul is saying to Timothy that without dispute, great is the mystery of godliness, Timothy. Then he proceeds to tell Timothy six particulars about these mysteries. In a mystery, by a mystery, in the form of a mystery, hidden in a mystery. Mystery refers to some work or purpose of God unrevealed until now. And let us turn to Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. I'm sorry, 16, 25 and 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began. But now it is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. So, number one, God was manifested in the flesh. And if I'll be flipping through the Bible here. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh, of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Paul is saying, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that Christ himself also shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. The Son of God was not by nature flesh and blood, but took upon him the nature for the sake of providing redemption for mankind. Death, power, death. That's what Pastor always teaches us, right? Death, power, death. This is the ultimate purpose of incarnation. Jesus came to earth to die. By dying, he was able to conquer death in his resurrection. In John 14:19, let's look at that as well. Brother, you sure you turned the AC on? I'm sorry, ladies. I'm sorry. John 14:19. Jesus said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. But ye see me because I live, ye also shall live. So, yet a little while. The world will crucify the only one who gives eternal life, meaning he, Jesus, not only gives life, but is life. They who rejected Jesus will not see him, nor experience the comfort of the Spirit of God. Turn over to John chapter 1, verse 14. Talking about God manifested in the flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Made flesh indicates the incarnation of God the Son. The use of flesh contradicts the Gnostic heresy that cannot be united with human flesh, which was seen as evil, dwelt among us. John uses the word tabernacle. He translated dwelt. The Old Testament tabernacle was where God dwelt among the Jews in the wilderness. And in this context, God is dwelling in the person of Jesus Christ. We beheld his glory. So perhaps John refers to the Shekinah glory, which appeared in the tabernacle of the Old Testament. The expression signifies the visible manifestation of God. John later uses glory to refer to Jesus' life in John 2:11. Let us turn to John 2:11. Right here. The Bible says, the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Number two, and also turn to John chapter 12, verse 23. And Jesus said unto them, this hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. And so, with that being said, Jesus' response to the public, he was responding to this public. But here, also, 1 Peter says, now we go to the second piece of this, justified in the Spirit, meaning declared or made righteous in the sight of God. Let us turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For God also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. Peter is saying, for Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And that's what he did for us. Christ died for us to bring us to him. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Why? That he might bring us to God. Means in order that God might bring us to or give us access, or it would give us access to God. And what did that do for us as believers today? Being saved, we have access to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 24 hours a day, nonstop. And we can go to him with anything we have on our minds, no matter what. When everybody else fails you, the Lord will never fail us. And so, since Christ has opened up the way to God, there's no longer the need of a priesthood. Rather, each individual believer himself is a priest. Number three, scene of angels. Let us turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Bible says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angel said unto them, do not be afraid. He said, I bring you good news. That's that day we all trusted Jesus Christ. We got the good news. The good news is what I needed in my life that day. And I tell you, standing in that store, my wife came in to visit me, and she said, you really looked miserable. You know, she said that to me. She said, you really looked miserable. And like I told that young man, nothing, no family, no wife, no children, nothing shall separate me from my love, from the love of God. I've been saved with a purpose. God called me with a purpose, and I'm not willing to give that up for nobody. But don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. So the angel's announcement in verse 10 includes several of the most frequently used words in Luke's gospel, shows the tremendous importance of the angelic pronouncement It is a bold proclamation of the gospel at the very hour of Jesus' birth. Look at verse 11. Once again, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's so huge, man. And that's just huge. And number four, he was preached unto the Gentiles. Acts, let us turn over to Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Bible says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached unto them. Philip, the first missionary, went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Philip, the first missionary named in Scripture and the first to be given the title evangelist. So let us look at that over in Acts chapter 21, where he was called an evangelist. Acts 21, verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist. So Philip was called the first evangelist. We see that Philip took the message of Christ to what had been thought of by the Jews as a heathen nation. If he couldn't preach Christ one place, Philip, meaning Philip, then he would go to another place and preach. Perhaps that should be us. If we can't preach Christ in one place, let's go somewhere else and preach the word of God. Perhaps had it not been for the great persecution, the gospel would not have so spread so widely. Remember, when the nation of Israel was dispersed, in the book of James it talks about that they were scattered. But what happened? The gospel went everywhere. You know, and so that's a tremendous blessing. I'm a prime example of that gospel being spreaded. Because I have the rights to the throne of Christ, and so do you all as well. Philip first took the gospel to non-Jewish people. God first confirmed his message with miracles, verses 6 and 7. We won't go there for the sake of time. So that many believe, God also sent Philip to a Gentile from Ethiopia. We'll look at that in verse 27. Do I have that? We'll bypass that because I forgot to put the verse in there, the situation. And use Philip to expand the work into North Africa. So the gospel has gone everywhere. And why? Because the Lord of Jesus Christ was preached unto the Gentiles. So Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Let us go there. Romans 10. So he took the gospel to non-Jewish people. So Romans 10, verse 12 says, for there is no difference between the Jew in the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So no matter who you are, poor, rich, purple, green, white, yellow, the gospel is for all. And so that's a tremendous blessing, you know. So we have the opportunity to share that with others. Paul is saying, the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. There is no difference, meaning a parenthetical comment explaining that God can bestow his righteousness on all who believe, Jew or Gentile, because all men, without distinction, fell miserably to live up to the divine standard. This is a universal call preached to all. In Revelation chapter 22, turn there. 22. When you get there, the verse is 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hear saith, come, and let him that is at thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So whomsoever can partake in the water of Christ freely. And so with that being said, let's see if I got it. We'll turn over to believed on the word. So this is my fifth point. I'm almost over, folks. Believed on in the world. John chapter 4. Turn there. Verse 53. So the Father knew that it was the same hour and the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and he himself believed in his whole house. This time when the official son, this centurion, I believe, improved, corresponded precisely with the time that he had spoken with Jesus, this served to strengthen the official's faith, and as a result, the whole household believed. So just imagine taking the gospel to one person that you might see. That happened to me. I can attest to that. My whole family got saved. Man, I was destined for hell. And that day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was preaching to everybody I could see. Man, they thought I had lost my mind. But the point that I'm trying to make is that the gospel is for all. That day I got saved, I even went to my enemies. I took gospel tracts down there. These were the same fellas that told me, I'm going to get you. I took gospel tracts down there, and them guys said to me, man, what you doing down here? I said, man, I got saved. What a tremendous blessing. I got saved. So I proceeded to pass out tracts. Lo and behold, them guys just walked away. God says, I'll even make your enemies at peace with you. This time when the official's son, so we talked about that. There was no question what healed the boy. This miracle has not only saved the son's life, but the whole family for all eternity. So keep praying for your family members. Keep praying for your friends. Because we're saved, we have opportunity to share the gospel. You'll never know. We don't ever give up on our family. Because you know why? They have the opportunity to get saved. I was one of those hard cases, man. I said, man, I ain't doing this. But, man, that day, my heart was so tender. I told my brother there. I said, man, I got to go back. Yes, sir. I said, I got to go back. I think I was under the influence at the time. A little bit. I said, I got to go back. But I heard a clear-cut presentation of the gospel, though. That's my point. I said, I got to go back. And I went back that Sunday. And I found myself going down that aisle. And I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And my whole life changed that day. My whole life changed that day. But, point six, received up into glory. Let us go to Mark chapter 16, verse 19. The Bible says, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received. That's my sixth point, received up into glory. He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. The right hand of God, the place of honor. Jesus assumed after his ascension. Acts, let us turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 22. verse 33. Being set on the right hand. Acts chapter 2 verse 33 says, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, this Jesus, let's go to verse 32. This Jesus have God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, right? Therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he have shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Right hand of God, once again, as I said, is honor, the place of honor. Jesus assumed this after his ascension into heaven. 40 days are gathered in this sentence. Over 500 saw the resurrected Lord during these 40 days. He truly was carried to heaven on a cloud and does even now sit at the right hand of the Father, for his work of salvation is done. He told us that from the cross when he said, it is finished. By way of application, we all have the hope of this glory. Let us not forget, we have the ability to lead folks to Christ. Don't forget. Don't sit back. Don't give up. Don't give in. We have to contend for the faith. What does that mean? Contending means to fight. Keep going. Keep scratching. Keep pulling. No matter what folks tell you, the fight is real. We are in a spiritual warfare. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to take your word and, Lord, just expound upon the truth. The Bible says the truth will set you free. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for each and every member of this assembly who the gospel has set free. And Lord, I pray, Father God, help us, Lord, not to forget that we have opportunity to see others come to Christ, that we should take advantage of those opportunities. But Father God, also continue to grant us opportunity to be a blessing ye one to another. For I ask all these things in Jesus' precious name that I pray. Amen.